Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. And last week, I was making my way through the letter of 1 Peter, just the tremendous amount of wisdom and grace and inspiration from St. Peter. The Word of God is so alive and so clear, and the apostolic mind, you might say, the renewed mind of the apostles. St. Paul said, all of us who are baptized into Christ have, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, been brought to the place where he wants to produce in us a renewed way of thinking, to be able to see things from the Lord's perspective, both to see the Lord and to see things from his perspective, to have a new mind that's freed from the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil are increasingly free. Let me put it that way. And we're able to grasp eternal realities and to see ourselves in light of God, in light of God's love for us, in light of his calling in our lives, to receive from him a clear understanding of our identity, which gives us security and confidence, courage, and a deep sense of purpose and value in our lives. And the vision of the apostles, they often tell us, especially at the beginning of their letters, they tell us who God is, and in such a beautiful way, they call us to believe and to see ourselves. Like St. Paul, we've touched on a number of times over the past few years, his apostolic prayers, and like Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays that our hearts, the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, literally that in the heart, we could see what God sees. We could experience what God experiences. We could literally come to the place, he said, where the eyes of our hearts could see the glory that's given to us in Jesus, the tremendous treasure that has been bestowed on us, so that we could grasp who God is with God's help, and seeing who God is and seeing what he thinks about us and seeing the love that he has for us has transforming power for us. It's such an important thing for us to lay hold of, especially in this time in our culture where everything's about identity. And a shift has taken place, a really unhealthy shift and a dangerous shift. And I think it's just diabolic. It's the devil's strategy to get human beings from a very early stage of life to believe that we've got to create our own identity, our own origin story, so to speak, and that at the end of the day, it can never hold. One, because we were made by God, we're made for God, and to see who we are in God is the only way we'll ever come to the security of an identity that's just deep, radical, unchangeable, and eternal in its scope. And it's convincing. If we work constantly to make up and to assert the ever-shifting identities and sexualities and genders and all the different meanings of these things, and that burden is on us, we can work overtime. You can see people working overtime to say, this is who I am, and asserting it, and you must affirm it. And it sets up a terrible dynamic, and it's not peaceful. It's not secure. Why? Because it's not real, ultimately. I mean, the feelings might be real, but that's part of the result of living in a culture that's saying to us that feelings are what define us. Feelings are the ultimate authority in these kinds of things rather than God. And instead of being in a posture of humility and receptivity as a child of God and say, you know, the St. Francis posture that I've talked about many times in the program where he'd kneel before the cross and he'd say, God, tell me, who are you and who am I? You know, here's a character, a historical character that pretty much everybody loves, Christian and non-Christian. Everybody's overwhelmed by the love and the freedom and the joy that just flowed through that man. Now, 800 and some years later, millions of people every year still go to the little church, to the crypt down below in Assisi, just to be near him and just to pray. People of every nation, he's such a wonder. And you say, well, how did he get there? Did he just make up an identity that kind of captured everybody? No, he was humble. He was poor in spirit. And he was receiving from God, and he trusted in God with a childlike heart. And look at how that life continues to echo down through time. He's a kind of trophy in the glory of God. He shows us. His life shows us, and it's God who did it. He didn't do it. He cooperated with God, but it's God who used him as he's done with all the saints and many people that aren't even recognized fully in this life as saints. because we're made by God, we're made for God, and God, who's the ground of all being, who's the ground of all truth, who's unshakable, he's the one who explains our origin. He's the ground of our origin story and our identity story. And it's the only unshakable identity we could possibly have. And he sent his son into the world to reveal it to us, to make it possible for us to live in it. Because friends, at the end of the day, if we spend all our time preoccupied with creating our own identity, trying to figure it out, following our feelings here, there, and everywhere, we're going to know at the end of the day, it's not enough, because if we made it up, it's make-believe. It's never going to be the answer. But this is what happens when we get unhinged from the revelation of God and God's plan and God's purpose. And so what the apostles give us is their experience and then their exhortations to us to believe what God has said about us, to believe that the Holy Spirit wants to, in each one of our lives, open up our hearts to the reality of seeing who Christ is and finding our identity in him. And so we've been making our way through, again, the first chapter of Peter and into the second chapter of St. Peter, because he tells us again and again dimensions about who we are. And these are nuggets of gold, friends. If we take these in, because this is God's word, this is the King of the universe, Jesus. He's the one, he's the God-man who was there from the beginning of all time, right? The second person of the Holy Trinity. Everything was made through him. Everything was made for him. He's the one who's preeminent before all other things. He's the one who's settling the division on the earth. He's the one who's bringing about a new creation. He's the one who's helping us see, moving us from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from the strategy of the devil to separate us from God and to lead us into confusion and bring us into the righteousness and the peace of the children of God. And so one of the things I want to touch on today is from second chapter of 1 Peter, where he talks about the fact that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We are God's own people. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race. We're a race of people that are made in the image of God. But we're a race of people who have fallen under the power of sin and death, beginning with Adam. Every human being shares in Adam's fall. Jesus came, the second Adam, to deal with all that happened as a result of Adam's turning from living and walking and fellowshipping with God and feeding from the Word of God and trusting totally in God. The trust he had in God was broken in the garden. And this is the essential disposition, friends, of the heart, of the human heart in relationship to God. This is the place where the battle is fought. Can I trust God? Is he trustworthy? If I give my whole life and my whole enterprise to God, where will it lead me? Am I trading up or am I trading down? Or should I cling to, no, this is my freedom. I'm the one who determines what's good for my life, for my destiny. That's the battle. Do I entrust my heart or do I draw my heart back? Because I don't know if God can indeed be trusted. That's a deep battle in the human heart that the Holy Spirit comes to heal. How does he do that? The Holy Spirit helps us see like that these words on the page here in the Bible, that St. Peter's communicating to us, that it's just not a fantasy or a myth or just another idea or a way of looking at things, but in fact, it's God's authoritative word that has a capacity to penetrate deep into your heart and mine. It's like a surgical knife. It goes right down to the core of our being, and he speaks to us. And it's the Spirit that's been poured into our hearts, the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us this truth that's being communicated. Again, I mentioned many times that beautiful chapter in Romans chapter 8, building on Romans 5, that says God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That is, God's love in baptism is poured into the core and center of our being in this place of decision, where the battle is being fought right now in the culture. And as I was saying at the beginning of the program here, where people are buying the lie that the decision is on my shoulders, it's all me. I have to be the creator. And we co-opt, or we take God's prerogatives as creature and we become the assertive one, the creator. And it's an overwhelming burden. It sounds great, but it's an overwhelming burden, will ultimately crush us and lead us to slavery, because it's a move into the shadows, into darkness, into fantasy, into unreality. But the Holy Spirit given to us penetrates right down to that core. And then where that insecurity lies, where the doubt about God lies, can I trust Him? The Holy Spirit begins to speak to us powerfully about the love of God, revealing God as a loving Father, that He's absolutely trustworthy, that all power and authority in heaven and earth are given to His Son Jesus, and that now He's come to make His home in us. And He reveals that love, and He forgives us for our sins, and He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up our wounds, and we come to see that indeed He's a loving Father, and that Jesus is my brother, and that Jesus has come to bring me home to my Father's house. And so He's restoring the foundation of my life at the core of my being, in my heart. This is the race of people that has fallen, and Jesus is raising us to new life and forming one new man, forming a new creation, a people who are born again of water and the Spirit. So that's what He means. You're a chosen race. Chosen means you're set apart for God. You belong to God. You're not outside God's reach. Even friends, right now, if you're listening, if you're discouraged and broken and maybe depressed and wrestling with the troubles of life and feel the turbulence that you can't seem to find peace, here's where we need to find it, right here. Security in an identity that's unshakable. And it's an identity that goes right down to the deepest part of our being, to the core. So you, who are part of this chosen race, what characterizes this chosen race? Peter goes on to say, this race is a royal priesthood. Isn't that interesting? That's why as Catholics we understand we've all been baptized, Christians into becoming priest, prophet, and king, sharing in these dimensions of Jesus' life. Jesus is the high priest. And on the cross He offered Himself as a living sacrifice to God. An act of love, a radical, total abandonment and trust. And see what He communicates to you and to me? God the Father, your Father. Jesus says, my Father is your Father. And see, He is utterly trustworthy. The deepest trauma, the deepest alienation, the deepest horror one could imagine in this world that causes us to be frightened and to draw back and feel like we've been abandoned. He's saying, look at me. Behold, I'm not afraid anymore. As He's on the cross, He offers His life as an act of love and obedience to God the Father, because He knows, He's telling us, this is the place of security. I'm a son of this Father, and I know He's utterly trustworthy. And I'm not afraid ultimately of saying yes to Him in these difficult circumstances. And I want you to know, this is the relationship I've given you with the Father, Jesus is saying. You can have that same trust and same abandonment as you obey Him and make your life an offering. That's what it means that you're a royal priesthood. We'll take this up a little bit more tomorrow, friends. I hope you can walk in it today. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.